Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. We've also got with us Adam Knox.
G'day, I'm the big one. Hello, nice to be here.
So let's talk about you when you turned up at this house. Because you get here, you ring my doorbell.
I'm surprised you're the one to bring this up.
Well, yeah, I actually want to talk about it because it was a life first for me. So you ring the doorbell, you have to ring it twice.
Yep.
I don't answer. So you then call me.
Gave you a ring.
Yeah, I pick up the phone and I say, hey man, I can't come to the door. I'm taking a shit.
Yep, which on the shitter is
the
term you use.
I was on the shitter. And that has been something that I've been scared of happening for literally my entire life. Like if I have people coming around and I need to go number two, I'm always worried that that's the moment that it's going to happen. And it's never happened to me until today.
It'll be really like the way my apartment thing is set up is that the toilet is directly
at the front door.
Yeah, it is. It's right next to it and the window leads out to the front.
Right.
And so if...
So you could let people in through the window of the toilet that you're in.
No, it's too high. But if I if I heard a knock on the door, I'd have to freeze completely because if I made a sound in there, it'd be really audible. So if they
you would just pretend that you're not home at all rather than have a visitor know that you're on the toilet.
Yeah, probably. Because I'd be worried that I'd take too long to get to the door from the shit I was doing. We don't need to get in my personal life.
Sure. This is the best video games.
Well, hey, let's quickly say this. So this is why I brought this up because I thought this would be a good segue.
Okay.
Speaking of real,
so far it isn't.
Speaking of real pieces of shit, Ben is not here today.
Okay.
He's stuck up in the hills with a car that doesn't work.
Probably just on the toilet pretending he's not.
Oh, I wonder. Actually, we should call him at some point in this podcast and get him to check in, get him on speaker. But anyway, Ben is not with us today. However, we have a guest in the form. You know him from the Hey Fam podcast. Please welcome Andrew Levins.
Hi.
Great start. That's the magic that we're missing in Ben's absence. Thanks for joining us, man.
No, thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here and you not be shitting while I'm here.
You ever been stuck on the old toilet when someone comes around?
Oh, man. I wish I could listen to 5 minutes about it right now.
Let's go. Do you ever play Don't Shit Your Pants?
On 64?
No. Yeah. It was like...
The only game worse than Superman 64.
It's just if you play a game for like 7 hours, you have to just not shit your pants after that. No, it's like a little dumb flash game on the internet. It's like a text-based thing. The goal is to not shit your pants. And you get given a minute and you've got to type in things to guess. So like there's a door there. So you type in open door and the door opens and there's a toilet. So you go, oh, fuck yeah, shit in toilet. And then it'll go like, you forgot to take your pants off, idiot. You shat your pants.
Wow. Every time I open a door and there's a toilet there, my first thought is, oh, fuck yeah. I love it. I can't get enough of it. So we are here today. We thought we should talk about Uncharted 4. We talked about it last week. We had played like an hour. We played the first hour together.
Yeah.
You've now, both of these men in front of me, you've both finished it.
Oh, you finished it too, Noxie?
Yeah, I finished
high
it.
High five.
Yeah.
Can't.
For anyone, we weren't even that far away.
we high-fived like two people that have just finished Uncharted in 24 hours.
Whoa.
By the way, I should say, we talked last episode, we kept count. The first hour of Uncharted 4, we can say definitively contains, was it five?
It was, I think, like six or seven. Right. It was a lot. I tried to count how many whoa-whoa-whoa-whoas there were throughout the game, and I stopped around 20.
69.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What an Easter
magical
egg. Imagine if that was true.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a beauty just before. I was playing it just before. A beauty where you drive
over. Yeah, we all know
bridge
about your shit, mate.
There was a knock on the door. I was like, whoa. I'm still shitting in here. But I am up to, I'm up to Madagascar. I'm up to Chapter 10.
I mean, that was my favorite part of the whole game.
It was really good. There was like the
I'm just at the bit where you have to shoot that zebra that's voiced by Chris Rock.
Did you watch any of the E3 stuff, any of the trailers that came out from that?
No.
Sick. Okay, right. Good. Because like that, I reckon, was the best part in like terms of the action sequences of the game. And I'm kind of annoyed at myself for having watched it.
Yeah. I didn't love that part. I actually loved the part when you first get to Madagascar and you don't have to... You're not being chased by anything. You're just exploring the area.
Oh, the driving around is sick.
I thought exploring the area in a car, like, which I'd never done in an Uncharted game.
Yeah.
And it's like the most beautiful looking game ever.
It's insane. And we have to get this out of the way, I reckon, to just like say to each other how fucking good this game looks.
Yeah, because I've been playing it with my housemate a bit, and me and Knox were talking about this before you turned up. It's just like you just play it and it just, you feel like a real simpleton because you're just constantly going, oh, how good does it look? Like, that's all me and my housemate are capable of saying to each other about it. And it's like, but it's just, it just is overwhelming where it just shuts down all your other capacities for having any kind of meaningful conversation about it.
Yeah, but the worst part of that about that is that I really wanted to finish it before I came here to do this podcast with you.
Yes.
Because I care deeply about this podcast and your poos. So I thought I would really, really quickly just smash through this game. And there were moments of just like this incredible beauty that I've never seen in a video game before. I'm like, yeah, fucking hurry up.
Get on with it. Yeah. See, I'm the opposite. I'm kind of, with these games, I want it to take a while. Like I want to drag it out.
I could play it again, I think.
Yeah,
I would go back to it. Because it's ridiculous. It looks insane. And like, I wonder, like, I haven't been able to figure out in my head, thinking about it now, how much of it I actually enjoyed playing heaps versus how like spectacular it looks.
Yeah.
Because I'm going back and thinking about it and like deliberately, like the shooting is pretty loose. And you
just mimed you holding a gun for the sake of me and Andrew in this room.
Yeah.
Very unnecessarily, you mimed you shooting people
I'm
in
trying
this
to make
room.
Sure you guys stay quiet while I say the rest of this. But like,
if young Noxie don't trust you, I'm a shooter.
Is that a song?
It's a song. Oh, I'm not up to date on song.
Knox is a 68-year-old trapped in a 26-year-old body.
Real music had guitars in it. That's what I reckon. But like, I had a feeling a couple of times with it. I just want to get my hot take out of the way.
Sure, go for it.
Like with Tomb Raider, those ones.
Tommy did before you got here.
there's moments in it where you kind of realize, like, fuck, I'm just moving forward. You know?
Yeah,
Shit's happening around me and I'm not...
I was about to say I read this. It's not true. I skimmed it. An article about how there's so much like climbing in this game and it's really enjoyable, but like on paper, it should be shit. Yeah, like it's like, why is this good? All you're doing is just leaping from ledge to ledge, but it still is... I find those bits really fun.
It's still like really engaging and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but it's one of... I don't reckon there's ever been a moment where I've been doing something in a video game where I was like, I'm fucking useless. Like you like so effortlessly jump from ledge to ledge.
Yes.
And like over like, you know, because the game is inexplicably, you know, always 800 feet high.
Yeah.
And you know, you're just towering over the entire world, like, you know, holding by your pinky onto like a small piece of rock. Just and it's like, man, I'm fucking great at this.
It's a great thing where you can be falling from a great height and then just like grab a ledge really quickly and you're just there.
Yeah. Like, man, I've climbed rocks in 3 games before this. I'm fucking amazing at climbing rocks.
That's the thing that is weird about it with I think games in general now where it's like this insane level of photorealism in graphics. But then the mechanics, like the physics of stuff, is always going to be real stupid. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's weird to be in this world that looks amazing, but you can still be doing that thing where like you're kind of like slow running against a wall kind of thing. Like it just looks
totally
so ridiculous.
And this game has less of that than a lot of games probably.
Sure.
But every time it happens, you go like, oh, whoa, fuck, that looks bizarre. Because like every time his shoulder doesn't pop out from that big height, you go, oh. That's strange.
Or like if you've done any bits where you're in the when you're in the Jeep in Madagascar, if you go off a cliff, the dying thing, the physics of it is just ridiculous. Like the car bounces all over the place, but you all just still stay like locked in the same position in the car.
I found that all the way right through to the very end.
Right.
I found the most enjoyable thing about Uncharted is, it's amazing. The story's great. It looks incredible. But nothing is more fun in that game than it's like, oh, fucking time to kill myself.
Yes,
Like, have you ever... There's
many points within the game where another character is like, oh, we can't get up. You let me up there and I'll find a way for you to get up too. And then they push like a big like crate down. Yeah. Every time you like they're like, watch out if you manage to fall, if it falls directly on you, it just crushes you.
Yeah.
Best way to die in the game. I recommend everyone do
that. I've been playing it in a weird way where so my housemate is playing through it as well and he's like two.
Wait, do you have two saves going at the same time?
We got two accounts on the one PS4. So, Noxie,
your thoughts? Not into it. I don't like sharing. You commie fuck.
Well, I need to catch up because he's like two chapters ahead of me. And so what will happen is I come home and I watch him play for a bit and then he goes to bed and then I just play through the bit on my account that I've just watched him play. Yeah, it's not, sure. It's, I'm kind of losing a lot of the initial kind of thrill of it. This guy right here. So,
oh, Pat.
Yeah. Tommy was pointing.
Thanks for being so silent and nice.
But the one thing that is really fun about watching him play is that he's one of these guys who you can be sitting there and you can just ask him to do something in the game and he will do it. Yeah. Like he doesn't care about clearing it in a set amount of time. He was like in the bit where you first get the Jeep and he was just like in the bit of mud, just doing burnouts, just doing donuts for as long as he could. And I found that really, because again, it's like all the realism. As if at a certain point, one of the people that you're in the car with wouldn't go, what the fuck are you doing?
Get out of here, fat pizza. We need to start moving.
Unlock the Sleek the Elite skins and let's get this thing going. There was a point where he was like hanging off a cliff and, you know, like literally anything I say to him, he'll do. I'm like, drop dynamite there and he'll go, okay, boom, I'm dead. Like, watching a person like that play a game is a lot of fun where you can just dictate them fucking around. But yeah, because also it's like there's a kind of a mini save point every minute and a half.
They're
so
very, very giving with
I spent
the
a good bit of time when I first got into the Madagascar with the car, just driving off of cliffs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
While they're in mid-sentence as well. So I was going like, yeah, I used to chase this drug lord back in the day. And then they all...
I do, yeah. I love how linear these games are. Like, I really like the thing of you can, if you only have like a half hour to kill, you can sit down and you know you're going to make some headway in it.
Yeah.
You know, you can definitely
just be like, okay, there's a stealth bit coming up. I can just do that and then turn it off.
You're not going to spend time like running around like working out what to do or...
Fuck it. How good is the fucking stealth in this game?
Yes.
It's actually great.
It's so fun. I because Angus, who does Hey Fam with me, mm-hmm. favorite game of last year, Metal Gear Solid 5. I loved it as well. I'm terrible at it.
Right.
It's one of those games that I just had to accept. It's not for me. I love watching him play it.
Yeah.
I love... You know, even though I suck at it, I still love playing
it. I had the same thing. I talked about it on this show. I got lent a copy of it. I sat through the fucking 4-hour intro sequence and then got into gameplay and went, oh, I'm real bad at this game. And it's taken me ages to fit. Like, I've already clocked so much time with this in the console. It's taken me this far into it to work out that I'm probably just not built for this game.
Yeah, so Uncharted 4 is like almost entry level stealth.
Mm.
And you can tell they're so influenced
by
Metal Gear.
Weird that you say that as well, because I found myself fucking up the stealth a lot. Like, I would accidentally get into gunfights trying to kill a bunch of people a lot more than it sounds like you guys are. So,
but then if that happens, you can just run away and go hide
and
push it somewhere.
Yeah.
And then it resets and they're...
Can just get into the gunfight there and start...
Totally, yeah. Which is like, still fun to do.
I always like that with stealth where if it's an option, do you know what I mean? If you can still...
Yeah.
You can still make your way through it. Just going all guns blazing.
And it kind of was in all the Uncharted games before now. Like, it was like, yeah, you can stealth this. And I was like, I'm not going to fucking stealth this. Fuck you. And just shoot everybody. But this one, it's kind of, it makes it way simpler.
I just think, I think it's
the
way
the... With
the
long grass, it's like, with that sort of stuff, it's just, you got these little bits of extra.
I think it's the way the...
as well.
Yeah.
You're in the long grass together and they, you know, and a bad guy comes near them, they'll take the bad guy out.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of runs where I've been going through a bit where it's like a lot of enemies trying to just blast my way out of it, dying a couple times in a row and then going, okay, just for shits and giggles, I'm just going to try stealthing this and just see how I go. And then all of a sudden, I've done it. Like, I've gotten through the bit. Like, again, I find it really good for once you've failed at an area a couple of times, so you kind of understand the layout of it a bit, being able to go in and use it as a bit of
Definitely.
A different approach. Yeah.
It is clever the way it's made. Like, I say the shooting's loose and all of that, but it is. I think it's deliberate because it makes it look a lot more like that Indiana Jonesy, like at the edge, like just at the edge of fucking it up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, and so, Indiana Jones was never great at shooting. Yeah, he just, you know, had a gun.
And but do you have the lock aim on?
No, I don't. I
bet you do.
I put it on.
I'm putting it out there, guys. Filthy casual listeners. Tommy Daslow is the worst video game player of all time.
I'm not good at it. But this is my point with these games. That's what's always been fun about them is that you know you can get to the end. You're not going to get up to a bit where you just don't know what you're doing or you just can't do it. Yeah. Like, it's challenging, but it's also, for me, it's like, it's so about the story and, you know, like being in this world and everything.
It's very linear, but it's, you know, that's the point of this game. So it's linear, but it's so focused. It knows what it wants you to do. So, and there are a few games that, you know, it really, really takes that care to make sure you're doing what you need to do next and really, really, you know, pushes you in that direction.
Oh, it's so cool that they can do that. Like I thought in The Last of Us, this was really good as well, where like the actual way that the game plays adds to how they want you to feel. Like, The Last of Us felt kind of overwhelming and tense, which is like the mood they were going for. And with this, it feels like you're just rolling by and just picking up this thing and then shooting it and improvising your way through it, which is what would be happening I've just played through it. Fucking Indiana Jones, Nathan Drake.
Yeah. I thought I initially, when we got up to that bit where you play as the brother, I kind of thought,
we should mention as well, obviously this is going to happen. We might spoil a couple of little tiny bits.
Yeah, sure.
I would love to spoil the entire thing.
So would I, but Tommy still hasn't finished it.
Fuck you, Tom.
The bit at the start where you play as the brother, at the time initially I was like, this feels a little weird that you're just playing as this other character now. But I thought that was actually, a really cool way of telling his story and setting you up, and B, like, you then, because you've played as him for a bit, when he's there as your companion through the whole thing, you kind of give a shit about him.
Yeah.
He's not just like a throwaway, like,
work. And I read in one of the reviews, or like a comment that I read of this, that was that all the acting and the voice acting in this is on par with, like, you know, the best Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Series you've seen. And I think, did you guys say that? Was it?
I don't know what that is, but I agree with it.
You don't know what Netflix is? It's a streaming service.
Is that like Stan?
It's like Stan.
Oh, okay.
Stan. Is it like Foxtel Go?
We talking Yahoo here?
I agree with that. Like, it's this more than any of the other ones. I've always found the story in the other ones cool, but they're just like servicing the gameplay. I'm into the whole setup of
spoil,
like,
it at all, bro. Yeah. But like, that ending is fucking fulfilling.
It's fantastic.
Because you think it's great?
The last third, there are some moments of gameplay where they repeat things that you've done before. And you're like, come on, just let me fucking finish this game.
And that happens a fair bit throughout the game.
They love it.
Little stretches go for a bit too long. There's a couple too many slides and swings.
Sure.
It's like three elevators. That was like, come on, man. Yeah. Fuck.
They love it. The fucking, the winching thing is cool. I don't need to do it a second time.
Yeah.
Like, I just got, I literally, that's where I'm up to. I just finished the second winching bit.
They become cool because you end up destroying things with the winch.
Well, that's cool. True. But they love teaching you a mechanic and then
but
just.
I thought it was really sick in like the opening bit where, you know, before you even go on the main mission of Uncharted, where you have to, it's such a simple little thing, but instead of just hitting like triangle and then it does the thing, you actually have to loop around the thing that you're about to winch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, and doing that in that diving part with early on with Drake.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
That was really sick. It was really great.
That stuff's cool.
And dude, everything that you've seen from like the, you know, like that scene, the diving where you wind around something to the Crash Bandicoot bit.
Yeah.
All that stuff comes back in the game.
That's cool.
And it's just like, I don't know, it's
in a really like not shitty, like, remember this?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like, I was about to say about the looping thing. When I realized the first time that I had to actually do it, like actually loop it around, I initially was like, oh, God, because I'm so used to, like, anytime that happens in a game, the mechanics suck. You know what I mean? Where they've made it where it's like, it doesn't quite work out it's gone around
works,
and you can't.
So well
like, the Crash Bandicoot thing. So you talked about this a bit on your show last week on Hey Fam, and Nox, you sizzled it. You mentioned that there was some kind of Easter egg, some kind of like fourth wall-y Easter egg. So, and then Angus, I got up to it and messaged you and said, hey, is this it? And you were like, yeah, bro. Yeah. And I'm taking a shit right now.
Similarly, I'd played it for a few hours before Angus had, and I was like, dude, there is one moment that I can't spoil for you, but it is just like just immediately you just love this game
yeah.
so much.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. I thought it would have been cool if you literally had to finish the entire game of Crash Bandicoot before you could move on.
But here's the fucking thing. I sucked at it. And you get a chance to play that level again later on. And still sucked at it.
Yeah.
I finished the first Crash Bandicoot on PlayStation 1. I finished that game twice. And why do I suck at it now?
I don't remember there ever being a points system in Crash Bandicoot. I was always playing for the story with Crash Bandicoot.
No, there was definitely a point.
I wanted to see where that Bandicoot got.
Well, so
part where Crash Bandicoot's brother showed up in Crash Bandicoot 3.
Crash Bandicoot also goes, whoa, when he dies.
Yeah.
They've been doing this for years.
It took them this long to get the confidence to have a character repeat it again and again.
This is our fourth game, so whoa, 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 whoa.
Someone tweeted us. I put a thing out saying, hey, anything you'd like us to talk about? Someone, I presume off the back of that, wanted to know favorite Crash Bandicoot games, which I got to be honest, I've never played a Crash Bandicoot game. Like, I'm late to the PlayStation party, as regular listeners of this will know, so... This actually playing it within Uncharted was actually my first Crash Bandicoot experience.
How did you go? Did you manage to make it to the end of the level?
Yeah, I made it to the end of the level. Yeah,
How did you do it?
I didn't beat her
fucking six times.
Because it's real easy.
Yeah,
it's the first level of a video game for children. It's really easy. That's how.
I'm going to roast you so hard later on.
Yeah, you know what's coming up. You know what we're going to talk about a bit later on. But
it's cool. And I like the feeling throughout this game of like, we are wrapping this up.
Yeah,
we are getting done with this. And kind of the Crash Bandicoot thing ties into that where they're like, look, we're moving on to something else, which I hope isn't Last of Us 2 next.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want them to touch that.
If they do like a Fargo thing of like, here's a completely different story, maybe. But even then it's a zombie thing again.
I didn't enjoy the gameplay in Last of Us anywhere near as much as I enjoyed Uncharted.
Right.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot more.
I never finished it. I enjoyed it. I was playing it, but I got up to a hard bit and just was like, man, I'm checking out.
That's kind of what I liked. It was pretty tough and it was pretty like exhausting at times. And I really liked that because it tied into the story so well. And I'd never seen that done as well as that, where like the way that a game plays actually feeds into the tone of the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate that, but like I do not get that much time to... I know it sounds redundant, me saying that, having already finished Uncharted, but I don't get that much time to play video games. And so Uncharted... Like
your son is now dead as a result of you finishing Uncharted in a week, we should say.
And I neglected maybe three. I do a lot of food writing in Sydney, and I neglected three. I don't think I'll ever write for at least three different publications
because of Uncharted 4.
Yeah, yeah. I just neglected everyone. Wow.
How are the people of Sydney going to know where to get the best brunch?
I need a $40 sandwich, but where?
Yeah, Melbourne's better. Yeah.
Fuck off, Sydney, you bridgey cunts.
Everywhere, we all live on a bridge. Every one of those articles is like, oh, you want a good bacon and egg roll? Uncharted 4.
There's actually, thinking about it, way more bridges in Melbourne, and you specifically, Tommy, talk about one of them more often than anyone would talk about the Sydney.
Yeah, I would argue that the Westgate Bridge is more iconic than the Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of suicide, it's a very list. Yeah.
I'm a big Golden Gate fan, but I like the classics.
I think. Have you played much of the Crash Bandicoot games?
Yeah, I played the first two.
They did two on the PS1?
They did three on the PS1.
Right.
Then they did Crash Bash, which was like Mario Party.
And then they started doing all these weird spin offs, which were, I gather, some were okay, most were not great.
It swapped. It was one of those things where different people started making them after the first PlayStation. So I haven't seen any of those ones because...
Do you think? I reckon we...
Activision has a license now, I think.
Yeah, because you were talking about this on your show. Yeah. And it made me think, I reckon he's going to make a comeback pretty soon.
Ratchet & Clank, which I think, even though I loved Uncharted so much, I actually think Ratchet & Clank is still my favorite game.
Well,
of
do
the
we
so
want to
far.
Wrap up Uncharted 4 before we move on? Is there then anything much else to say?
The acting is fucking awesome in it.
Yeah.
I wanted to say again. And like the animation and the detail in how those characters act in it is really crazy. Like main villain, Rafe.
Yep.
Fucking really detestable guy.
The boss battle. Finally, it's a great boss battle in an Uncharted game because they've struggled. The Uncharted 2 is such a great game, but the boss battle is so
the back end of every one of those games has just done a dumb, weird.
But then they toned it down a lot in Uncharted 3 where you had like a knife fight.
But they toned it down to the point where like all the magical shit that had happened, oh, you're actually just high the whole time, man.
Oh,
like,
that sucked. Yeah, I hated that cycle.
It was,
But the boss battle in this is just very fulfilling. You feel challenged and you also feel like it's a...
And whoever's playing him is just the most fucking snarky Facebook dickhead and he's done a really good job.
So it's you.
Yeah. No, he comes across like a dickhead CEO kind of thing, which he is. And it's really well done. Jesse Eisenberg.
You know what's weird is like the... So the whole thing of like the facial animations and stuff in this is so good that Uncanny Valley, I reckon, is... For me, I'm not getting it with, like, I'm actually, it doesn't freak me out. It's not like colors.
I do with the female characters, but not with the male characters.
A bit sexist.
What is that? Yeah.
On their behalf, not mine, guys.
But you know what I find more jarring now than the faces is people's clothes. Like, because you notice, like, people's shirt collars.
Yeah, it was so weird. Why are all these characters wearing a Frankie Says Relax t-shirt?
But the fact that the collars are kind of like, this is pretty nerdy, but they're like modeled to the chest as part of the same model. So it's weird how now my brain accepts faces, but then you look at a collar and it's like, that is too rigid. Like the collar never moves, which I find that more jarring.
Very glad we didn't move on to Ratchet and Clank before getting this nugget out there.
It's a hot take. And you know what? For the one person out there that's listening that has noticed that as well, that's going to brighten their day. And they're now not going to drive to the West Gate or the Harbour Bridge or the Story Bridge.
Or the Golden Gate.
I know all of them. I know all the popular suicide destinations. So, Ratchet and Clank. You haven't played it, Knox.
I haven't.
Have you played any of the originals?
I've played one of the older ones. I don't remember which or when. I didn't play a lot of it.
Right. So
but I get the gist.
I finished it. I think the day before I got Uncharted, I finished it. With a lot of help from you, I should say. Because...
talking to me, guys, not Noxy.
Surprisingly enough, I didn't get any help from the guy who's never played it before.
Try opening the door on the left.
To the shop where they sell it.
And try turning it off and on again.
Yeah.
I am not a big one for like going and finding all the collectibles in games. I've never given a shit about...
There are
like
a few games that are, like, I know what you mean. Like actually, Uncharted is a great example of a game where who gives a fuck about
it's purely. Yeah. I don't care about going into and looking at a 3D model of a fucking coin. Who cares?
It's like you're like desperately looking for treasure because you have no money and you need to save your brother because he has no money and you got to save his life and then you're like, oh, a treasure. Oh,
I reckon there might be an old mirror this way.
Yeah,
give us a second.
It's a porcelain jug.
Yay.
Oh, fuck, a treasure chest of old pornos. There should just be like one of them hidden in there, like something that just does not fit tonally with the game.
Oh, it's an entire Tarzo container full of slammers.
A copy of E.T. on the Amiga. So you were talking to me about how you had been going through trying to get all the Rhino cards, which are a thing in the game where if you get all of them, you can then take them to this vendor and he gives you this like amazing special gun.
So Rhino is R-Y-N-O, which stands for rip you a new one gun. And it's the most powerful gun in the game.
So you'd finished it and you were like, I made an effort to get the Rhino gun and then I finished the final boss in like 10 seconds. And I'm not a big fan of boss battles at all. So I thought, that sounds pretty fucking sweet. So I was like 90% of the way through. I made an effort to go back and I went and found all the Rhino cards and I finished it. And fuck, it was satisfying.
Yeah.
Like just ripping through this thing that you can tell with just your normal guns would have taken so many attempts and you would have finished it, but you would have finished it with like one bar of health and it would have been so... Like went through
it's
and just
a, it's a good feeling.
It.
Like when you spend every single day somewhere working really, really hard to try and do something and it never works and then you go away and you come back with a big gun and you come back to that place where you've been working hard every day where this fucking boss has been riding you and beating you down every single day and you come back there with a huge gun and you sort it out. Greatest feeling in the world. Then you drive up to the West Gate.
Oh, so you have played it.
Yeah.
That was a great bit, Noxy.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. No, I'm known for that. What am I doing? I'm sorry.
I thought the game was great. I mean, we were talking about it a bit as we were playing through it. The gameplay is amazing. You know what? It's such a bummer, though. Like, I talked about it on this show already. The fucking... the character design and some of the writing in it is lousy. I've said this, the villains are called the Blarg. That is the most, like, just year six level but of, like, science fiction writing.
When Ratchet and Clank came out, you were in year six.
Well, that's true, yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know, like, a lot of the history of this game, because it is a remake of a game that came out.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is this, did you play the very first?
I haven't played this one, no. I've played all the PS3 Ratchet and Clanks, but not the original.
I wasn't sure. Game. I would like to know, because I read somewhere that it was, like, mostly a remake, but they put some new elements in.
Well, yeah,
like,
you kind of, I think you visit all the planets differently, and the outcomes on each planet is completely different. So,
right.
Like, yeah, it was, they completely built this game from the ground up.
Because the storyline seems too, like, it's been kind of reworked a little bit. Like, the device of it is that this kind of, like, superhero. This is my other problem with it. Everything in it is in some way just kind of lifted from somewhere else. Like, you've got this guy, what's his name, the big superhero dude?
He's called Captain Blorg
Captain
or something.
Captain fucking Quizno
or
whatever.
Phaser? Quasar?
No, Captain, it's something like that.
Right.
He's literally just Mr.
Quiznos.
Incredible.
Captain Quiznos.
He's literally just Mr.
Throw
Incredible.
Subway sandwiches out,
yeah,
everybody.
He's a giant talking sandwich. But he's basically, yeah, he's just, Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles. Big kind of oafish.
Yeah, but I think that's fine because, you know, that's the quintessential hero that Ratchet looks up to.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, just everyone's, like, but anyway, the setup of it is him in a prison telling the story of how he got there, and you're kind of playing through his story.
That's Ratchet and Clank, yeah.
I don't feel like that would have been there in the original.
No, that definitely
was. That definitely, I feel like the setup of the framework of the story.
I think it might have been the first one that I played on the PS2, and I don't remember any of that.
Right.
He was in it, I'm pretty sure.
So you have played
Buzz Lightyear. Yeah, I said I played one of the older ones.
Okay.
I'm just not sure
which.
You're
free on a technicality.
I don't remember anything from prison, is all. I've blocked all of that part of my life out.
Once he took that big gun to his boss.
But, like, yeah, it's the story, like, that. Towards the end, it really started to frustrate me as you get more and more into the story. Like, the bad guy is just called Nefarious.
No, really?
Come on. Like they've remade everything else. They've remade all the graphics. Like, rewrite the fucking story. Got it.
Genuinely, if you called him Craig, it would be better than that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It
I didn't
actually
give a fuck
would.
About it. I think it's you know, you're playing a game that was originally made for kids.
For sure.
But isn't this all from the big actual movie that they've made,
which is trash apparently,
right. Which is apparently any good so reviews. Bad, yeah. But I was thinking, wouldn't it would be so cool if, like, they, if a game like this, if they worked with, because everyone goes, oh, it's like playing a Pixar movie. Wouldn't it be cool if they, like, worked with Pixar from the ground up, and Pixar, like, made basically, like, developed characters and a story for a game?
You know,
that
game
then
is
a
actually
great
really
game
good?
Designer made it.
The PlayStation 2 Incredibles game is
oh really
great.
Right.
One from the vault.
I never tried.
Yeah, real, really good.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you doing it? What's so good about it?
So you play different levels as different members of the Incredibles. At one point you play as Frozone as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, it's very varied. It's very linear. You play level, but
yep.
You know, there's different challenges within each level. You play, like, you know, like as Dash, the kid who can run really fast.
Oh, yeah.
You play, like, speed levels. And when you're Violet, you play as, like, you can be invisible for parts of it.
Wow.
And, like, a stealth level.
This sounds like Sonic Adventure.
Yeah, and then when you're playing the girl, you go fishing.
Yeah, it takes ages.
Speaking of Sonic Adventure, I rented a Dreamcast from the video store back when you could. Can you still do that? Can you still hire consoles?
I don't think you can rent a Dreamcast from any video store near here.
Can you still hire consoles from video stores?
Probably maybe not. Hotels.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I just thought the whole thing of, like, being able to get, remember they were called the little, what were they, the chaos? The little.
The chows.
Yeah. Is that how you pronounce them?
I think so.
The little creatures that you could get in it. And then there was that, remember they had that, they were kind of, Sega were ahead of the pack of Nintendo in terms of really short-lived shit ideas for consoles. Remember there was that thing that you could plug into the Dreamcast controller? That you could then detach and, like, take with you?
The VMU.
Oh, yeah.
So you could basically
yeah.
have, like, a Tamagotchi from this Sonic game that you could then, like, take with you and, like, feed it and all that shit and then put it back into the controller. Well, no, that was it because I rented it. I just really wanted it for that.
It was no good.
I was just obsessed with that.
It was. I remember it being no good. My cousin had one in England and I was in England and I tried it and it was no good.
And what else did they
do in England?
What else did they – what other games used it? because I remember it being very Nintendo in the way of like, hey, we've made one game that uses this cool thing.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to have a crack? And then all gone,
like,
nah.
I think in the Madden games, you could like choose your next play on the thing so nobody else could look at it. And that
it kind
sort
of was a very, very archaic gamepad.
Yeah, it was like a Wii U.
Yeah.
Or like a mobile phone.
Nintendo looked at it and went, hey, that console idea that literally drove that company out of out of the console
let's
business.
Let's expand on that.
Let's bring it
those
back.
Those someday Amigo little fucking maracas. Yeah. Let's make a whole console based around that
I've already
idea.
Spent an entire hour of my week complaining about Nintendo.
I know. I listened to that the other day. And I've been listening to your podcast recently.
We're mates because of Nintendo, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to stop listening to your show because every time you guys talk about video games, you feel the exact same way I do. And it was influencing me too much for this show.
You guys are going to be the last generation. You're part of the last generation that will be mates because of Nintendo.
Well, you were talking on your show that you're done. You reckon you're done?
Nah, I'm going to see what, like, but I feel like the NX might be me being done. But that said, I also am raising a kid. And
yes.
Like, no one makes better games for kids than Nintendo, but I like the idea that they make games for more than just kids, right?
Sure, yeah. But I mean, at this point, would you buy your kid like a SNES or something instead?
Well, no, the Wii U is like the perfect console for like the Nintendo back catalog. There's no better way that back catalog than owning a Wii U.
This is the disappointing thing. Like the Wii U, the games that are on it that just Nintendo has made, they've made, I think, some of the best iterations.
Well, yeah, especially Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, without question. Yeah. They're the two best iterations.
Yeah, that's the best Mario Kart they've made in such a long time.
Ever.
I didn't realize until you were talking about this on your show, like, there's not going to have been a Zelda that is unique to that platform.
Mm. Unless you count how Hyrule Warriors,
which
isn't really a Zelda.
Who would? It's,
probably fucking Ben Vernell.
Up there in the hills.
Top two Zelda games, Hyrule Warriors, Link's Crossbow Trainer. No
Tingles,
particular order.
Tingle's fucking post office adventure or whatever that weird little camp dude where
brings a gun to shoot his boss.
Did you guys
Tingle goes postal?
This might have been what you were talking about on your podcast, Levins, but the rumor from some woman, I can't remember who she is or what she has to do
this
with.
Sounds like something we're talking about on
Nintendo.
Our podcast.
Female rumors.
She's got some fucking agenda she's been pushing. Emily Rogers. I'm not sure who she is, but she said the NX is not using x86 architecture, which is, I think, what the PS4 and the Xbox One use.
Not what I would talk about.
So it basically means it won't be up to par with the current generation.
Right.
Consoles.
I read a thing. I saw a thing that was like they notice I downgraded. I went from I read a thing. I didn't read it. I saw the headline of the article and didn't bother to click it. But there was a thing saying it might use cartridges.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I saw that
what
as
are
well.
They doing?
SD cards are cartridges. They're like 32 gigabytes if you want to do it. Well, because the thing is with this, I don't
They're
really.
32 gigabytes if you want to do it.
You can do it. I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you trying to fuck me using the new hardware of the NX?
SD cards are small, they can fit anywhere. I don't. I'll skip the tech jargon. I'll give it to you in English, doc. It basically means if they're not using that thing, they're most likely using some other thing. And the thing that's best for is for mobile integration.
Right.
So it lends itself to the rumors that it's going to be like the hard.
Noxie, have you ever screamed, do it to me in English, doc, in a sack?
You have not been in my bedroom.
I haven't. That's why I'm asking.
Look, I'm going to plead the fifth. I'm going to plead that the fifth time. Do it for the fifth time today. I
it's not using the same hardware as the PS4.
It won't be as good as them again.
Which could lend itself to Nick Mason's theory that it's going to be a pokies machine.
Yep. I'd go for that at this point. At least I'd like feel the same sort of disappointment from just losing all my money to a pokies machine.
I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm just repeating stuff from that you've said on your show.
Oh, it's
but
a fucking great podcast.
It is.
Guys.
It is really great. For anyone that doesn't know, because I didn't know this when you said it. Apparently, a launch title is just going to be the Smash Brothers from Wii U, but with all the DLC built in.
It hasn't been confirmed, but apparently that's one of the titles.
That sounds like the sort of thing they do because they did that with the Wii U, is a bunch of games from the last generation, just like here's Mass Effect 3, but well, here's all the stuff with it.
Yeah, well, here's Batman Arkham City.
Oh, yeah.
You can control a batarang with the motion. Finally, motion controls.
I'd like to see them do like a one of those Batman games that they that in the style that they make now, but base it on the 1960s Batman. So you're just unlocking like fucking shark repellent and like
that'd
you know
be cool.
all of Batman's like bullshit things that he had
there
in
was,
that show.
Cut that out of the podcast.
You guys always complain about Lego games. I'm a big fan of Lego games.
You're one of the only people I know that's got the dimensions thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were just going to say dementia. The kind of dementia that you need to enjoy those Lego games.
What a bombshell to drop on this podcast.
I got a platinum trophy for Lego Dimensions. Thank you very much.
The whole time he's been talking about Uncharted 4, he's just been climbing trees going, whoa.
I finished it.
Wait, very quickly, let's just backtrack a bit because you just saying trophies has reminded me. In Uncharted 4, I thought this was really cool. Apparently there's a trophy where famously when they debuted, they did a presentation of this at E3 like 2 years ago and they had Drake like in the, I don't know, some marketplace scene or whatever. And the guy playing it, the controller went out.
I got that one, yeah.
Yeah, and so he's there in front of everyone like debuting gameplay from this game. The whole world's watching and the fucking system fucks up and he's like, look how good is this? And then Drake's literally not moving.
The controller just ran out of battery or something.
He just looks like
an battery.
Yeah,
he ran out of battery.
He looks like an idiot. And so in the game, when you get to that bit, if you stand still for 30 seconds at the start, you get a trophy.
Fuck,
that's
really?
Based on that.
Did you do that? Did you do that knowing that was a thing?
My brother told me like, hey, just stand still for a bit.
Now bend over and grab your ankles.
Because you get another one immediately after if you get an apple and then a monkey
lemur,
steals it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Lemur, what? Yeah. You know what? This
Limo comes up.
Trophies suck.
He takes your apple
off. Trophies completely suck. Do you know that they're...
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's kind of... Every time it pops up from the top of the screen, I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
You finish that game and you get a bronze trophy. You don't even get a fucking silver or gold for finishing it.
It's only interesting in the way we're all in a video games group on Facebook, a secret one. And when The Witness was out, there was a bit of talk about what order people had gotten trophies in. So, like, in terms of that, it's kind of interesting to compare with your friends. If it's like, if there's a different way that you can solve a game, it's like, oh, you went in that way first. Sure. That's kind of cool.
95% like, of games, though, are just like, hey, you went into the pause menu.
Yeah, you went into the pause menu.
They've literally been games that have done that.
Yeah.
I turned off all the
and
notifications.
And it kind of, I should do, I didn't know you could do that. Because it does take you out when you're like in the middle of like heated gunfire in Uncharted and you fucking wreck some cunt on a tower and it pops up. Like, oh, you got the sharpshooter trophy with a little
you shot five cunts in the dick.
See, I'd be into it if it was like that.
If I was in charge of Uncharted.
Exactly. If it could be a community thing where
every trophy, a hard-earned thirst.
If anyone could get on there and prescribe trophies to a game, that would be cool.
Yeah.
So literally every time you do anything, someone who's made a trophy is like, it's coming up. It's like the Adam Knox has a big dick trophy. It's like you literally get that when you turn the game on.
True. That's a gold trophy, baby.
100% of Uncharted 4 owners know about that trophy.
So I've also been playing a bit of Grim Fandango. I went and downloaded that. Now, I have talked a bit about, I was a big fan of Day of the Tentacle, Sam and Max. Grim Fandango was the one of them that I never played.
Yeah.
And I have to say I was kind of a little worried that it just wouldn't be, because I play those games now and like they're great, but also you know you're not sure how much like nostalgia is kind of like propping you up on that.
Yes, I know. I like going back. I don't like the point and click aspect of them.
Yeah,
which is why I like Grim Fandango so much, because you control a character.
Yes, and so I kind of thought, you know what, it's cheap. It was like it was discounted or whatever. I thought I'll just get it. Look, I reckon I'll probably maybe just play half an hour of this and then go, you know what, this isn't hitting any nostalgia button, just like this doesn't stack up.
I hate skeletons.
It's, it's great
Mexico,
though. Like even coming into it now, it's great. Like it's really funny. Those guys, like the tone that they hit in all those games and the characters in them and the way that the characters like talk with each other and stuff is just still... If you're coming into it fresh in 2016, it still holds up.
And it's that good type of like unusual situation with weird people without going to Adventure Time or whatever, without being too over the top of like, well, I'm the horse king.
Yeah.
And all that sort of garbage.
They're cast really well. Like the guy who plays Manny, the main character in it, he's great. Like he's really, really good. But this is what you've been wanting to get to. So the way I've been playing it is, so I like those games, I've always been very bad at them. So I, with Grim Fandango, I went, I want to go through the story. I want to complete this. Like, I want to just, like, play it. I have just had a guide open and I've just been playing it following a walkthrough.
That's not fucking fun.
So you've just been reading a book.
Like, I think basically, I don't have a problem with guides if you need to go to them once in a while.
But, yeah.
But, like, playing a game like
I
that.
I know, but I just...
But there's no fucking point. You I may as well read off, a Wikipedia entry.
I know, but I started off
watch
and I was...
Watch a playthrough on YouTube.
I was playing half an hour of it and I just, like, could not... I was like, what the fuck do I do now? And then when I looked it up, I was like, I never would have thought of that.
But you... So you go to there and you read. This is what I do with walkthroughs. I'll go, okay, it wants me to do that. That's and you kind of get an idea of, oh, that's how the game wants you to think.
Yeah.
Don't you get that from a game, or are you just like, fuck you off?
Some of those kind old of
dumb Mexican
games,
skeleton.
Some of those old LucasArts games in particular had weird leaps of logic.
Yes.
That you might not have actually like put the cage of bees in the washing machine, and those bees are going to get angry.
But, yes, that's.
But you've just played Day of the Tentacle, like. As
yeah,
if
but,
you don't
but I haven't
have that
finished
your...
it. I, even that, I'm stuck already.
You're
and I've played it as
video
a kid.
Games,
I know. I've never claimed anything else.
There's a door and I've got the option to pull. I don't understand what I'm meant to do here.
Look, threes is a great game, but you know what would be better? Twos.
Fuck, looking up a
number
walkthrough.
Number twos, where Knox is ringing on the door.
Looking up
you're
a
listening
walk-
to the Filthy Casuals.
We'll be back after this.
Looking up a walkthrough for threes, how grim. How do I get good? How do I get to nine? I'm fucked.
I did do that once. I got stuck and
is
it
there
told-
a walkthrough for threes?
There's just tips. And it goes like, hey, try and stay in the corner.
Yeah.
And then you're better off. And,
no one puts baby in the corner.
Well, you do if you're playing threes.
You are good at video games.
Look, I have no hands, okay? I don't know if we've ever mentioned this on the show. Both of my hands were cut off years ago. So cut me some fucking slack.
Games are played by you entirely through dictation.
Yeah, no, I'm pushing my little stumps up against the stick to make the character move.
You can do that. Yeah. They make controllers for that sort of stuff.
You hold this mic that I'm talking into up against my mouth every episode when we record. Yeah, very gracious of you. But yeah, I don't know. Like when you told me about the Rhino gun in Ratchet and Clank, I had, I think, 8 cards or something you need? I had like 6 of them. And I just went and looked up where the other ones were. I just went back and looked them up.
That's fine. That's not playing the game.
What do you mean that's fine? You were ripping me about this before.
No, I mean like about playing Grim Fandango while reading a guide. That's not playing a video game.
There is nothing.
Because there's no skill involved in
but
that.
Like, I felt guilty and then I give myself a little bit of a go in each area. And if it seems, you know, if I can kind of work it out, great. But I just don't want to spend 20 minutes walking around not knowing what the fuck to do constantly because I'm never going to get through it.
Then he says funny things like, well, that won't work.
Yeah. Like, talk about a Day of the Dead, am I right? But like the point of that game
is very quickly, what I used to love in Sam and Max, did you ever play Sam and Max?
Yeah, Levins? Of
course. When if you would try and get Sam to do something, pick up something, if you kept doing it, he would get more and more angry towards you. Do you remember that? Did you ever do that?
Yeah, yeah.
He would like actually start to get, and it would freak me out where he would just like not talk. He would just start not responding. It was so fucked up and weird. But anyway, sorry, I cut you off. I just remembered that great moment.
I was just saying there's
a cartoon dog abusing me on a screen.
That never happened in the game, Tommy. I don't really know what you're talking about.
Nah, Dad's coming back.
the whole point of that game is to bash your head up against things until like the point of it is in like trying to do something and failing and learning from it and growing, and eventually it all ends up okay. You know, you can't just use a book to get through every awkward situation you have. Is that a copy of the game on your shelf, by the way?
Where? I do own the game.
That's
somewhere.
His walkthrough for dating.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's one right there. But here's the thing. Like, I know that I've heard that game is great. I just want to experience the story. I kind of want to go through it. There's a lot of other stuff to do and play. I just want to go through it.
Yeah, and I replayed Grim Fandango. I played Grim Fandango when I was still in, like maybe like year
diapers.
7 or 8. Yeah, diapers. When I was in year 7, diapers. And I definitely like. I remember it being a massive deal to view a walkthrough back then because you had to like connect, like turn your phone off and then connect to the internet.
I had a Day of the Tentacle walkthrough that I ordered online and it got posted to me on a floppy disk.
Wow.
Some guy out there.
Yeah, this was in 2012 as well.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I got fucking ripped off. I spent like all my pocket money. I think it was like $25 or something.
On a pirated fucking...
On a floppy disk that some guy had just put a text file onto.
That's not
of how to do it.
But I honestly reckon that like... Because I mean, as soon as you get into the groove of like, oh, I'm not sure what I should do here. I should just do the... Like, I feel like maybe 5% of the puzzles in that game are maybe... difficult enough that warrant a walkthrough.
Yeah, but there's like the first thing where you get the balloon and you have to like fill it up with the two different chemicals and then put that down the mail chute. I never would have worked that out.
And you would have.
It's true. If you can't be fucked, live your life. You're never going to like...
Live your shitty inferior life.
Hey, thanks Adam. I'm glad one of you is going to grant me a bit of compassion about the way that I choose to play video games.
Well, maybe if Ben Vanell actually fucking showed up today, you'd have to.
He'd be... Well, no, if you're... Nox, if you're saying it's okay for me... You guys never agree on anything, so Ben would be going. Like, Ben would be on your side.
No, I'm a basic bitch.
Lemons, what else have you been playing lately, and what else are you... Oh, you know what? Let's talk about this. The Assassin's Creed trailer came out.
Speaking of shit video game movies.
Speaking of video games that I haven't played.
Yes. Have you never played Assassin's Creed?
Oh, no, I have. I played Assassin's Creed 2, which is really great.
Yeah,
right.
And the London one, which was... All
right. Right.
So the trailer has come out this week, and... Oh boy.
It's no good.
It does not look very good at all.
Is it actually no good or is it... Wait, no, actually, I've already answered my own question. Because I was going to say, if you've played the video games, at least you know what they're kind of doing and hinting on within it.
Well, and then but it looks empty even with that context.
Yeah.
It looks like there's nothing to it even with the context of knowing like what the story of those games is. Because the week it... Look, I don't think most people agree with me on this. I kind of liked the... future part of those games.
Yeah, you're alone there. For sure.
Yeah, that was like, that tied it all together. And this old Italian guy who's been dead for years, who gives a shit? You know, it's already happened, Ezio, move on. But this guy in the future, that shit's about to happen.
He's got PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
I just think if you're into the games, I think it looks like an extremely inferior like take on the way the games are presented.
Yeah.
And if you're not into the games, I just don't know why you would give a shit.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, the whole setup of it, of like, hey, you're this guy, like you're on, what is it? You're about to be, because I've never played any of them. You're executed or whatever?
No, you're not in a, you're the descendant of someone whose memories they want.
Yeah.
And you've got these genetic memories in you, which is not the way the body works.
And so they give you this big metal rod. And they ram it up your dick.
Yeah.
And then you can go back in time and be your ancestors. You fuck your ancestors.
You know how you saw Michael Fassbender's dick in Shame?
Yeah.
That's why he got hired for this, because he was willing.
They were like, Hollywood were like, I can't wait to ram this metal time machine right up that urethra.
I think that as a premise on its own, like if that wasn't connected to a video game, that's kind of a cool premise for a sci-fi.
What, Michael Fassbender getting rammed up his urethra?
Yes.
Do you know, that's actually what I call my urethra, my Fassbender.
You have a specific name for just the urethra?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, that's cool.
It's a Sydney thing.
Right. Yeah, we wouldn't get it down here. Yeah. Four seasons in one day.
I just got a whole name for my whole dick. I'm so uncultured.
But that, like, that as a premise, if you gave that to, like, a good, like a good science fiction director, like, you know, those kind, like, that could be a good film.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I feel like the bigger problem is here is that, like, this works as a video game.
Yeah,
let it work as a video game and leave it at that. Like, I'm a massive comic book guy.
Yeah,
and I, you know, I think I definitely understand the appeal of turning a superhero into a massive movie franchise, because they have hundreds upon thousands of stories of them.
Yeah,
you know, different iterations and the legend of that
character.
You can
pick and choose, like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But then when I hear like an indie title like, you know, Why the Last Man or something like that, or
you've
like
just got to follow
Preacher. For example, it's been...
Well, they were talking
TV
for
show.
Ages about doing an Uncharted film.
Exactly.
And there was a point where Shia LaBeouf was attached, and it's like, you've already got the best version. Like, you can already go out and buy the best version of an Uncharted movie. And, like, sure, not everyone plays games, but, like, that's
and
fine.
Most people flat out don't like the story of the Assassin's Creed.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the problem is, with that wrapping of the story, I think the reason people don't like them is because... The meaningful part of the story has to be the future bit, because that's the bit where nothing's set.
Well, this is what
stone.
I was about to say. Like, all the stuff of all the setup of it, of like how he gets in there. I'm looking at the trailer, I think, you know what? If I'm just seeing this as a trailer for a movie, not knowing that it's connected to a game, I think that looks pretty cool. Like, I think that's kind of a cool
but
setup.
But
then once he's in there, Then it's just a movie about a guy running around in this time.
Exactly.
So who gives a shit about that setup? It doesn't matter.
The part of the movie that should be moving forward is by the mechanics of the story at a stalemate because they're trying to find out something from the past.
Yeah.
And so they're in the future just sitting there going, fuck, I hope this pans out.
Yeah, exactly. So who cares about the rest of that stuff?
Yeah.
Because you guys, I listened to your Batman v Superman wrap up and you were talking about.
What a great episode.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You were talking about hating the work of Zack Snyder. And like, I think, like, I liked Watchmen. I thought Watchmen.
I liked it too.
No, I liked it.
I don't like it at all.
Having read the comic book.
That said, I love. What's the fucking movie you and Ben always argue about?
The Big Short?
Great movie.
Big Short's fucking awesome. I agree. Ben, I made it four. Oh, boy. I came down from the hills. I'm Ben.
Let's keep this guy around. Let's kick Ben off the podcast and just have Levins on every week.
Big Short's actually good.
You guys have the budget to fly me down.
Yeah, sure. This podcast is going really well. But I thought that movie, like, as someone who, you know, had read the comic and loved the comic, I thought it was good. I thought it was good for someone who's a fan of the comic. Like, I thought for something that had been long talked about being unfilmable and the film arguably should never have existed, like, I thought he did a pretty cool job of bringing that to the page.
When was that's the last time you watched that?
Oh, exactly. But that's as someone who liked the comic. Anyone else, like, just as a standalone film, I don't know that it's any good.
I'd never read the comic and I liked the movie.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the tone, like, for the point where superhero movies were at the time, though.
Sure.
It was a little more relevant.
It was after Dark Knight? No, oh, right. So before.
It was around the same time as The Dark Knight and Iron Man came out.
Right, okay.
And I remember thinking in the context of the. I remember liking it, but I haven't gone back. And I saw Batman vs. Superman, like, about a week ago, and it fucking sucks.
Sucks so much.
It's really bad.
So you guys talked about it, and I think it was actually Ben.
Ben likes it. Ben really likes it.
Ben really had a crack at people like myself who, you know, have an idea of, you know, who characters like Batman.
But that's not the problem with the film even.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's
totally
part of the problem, but there's so many more things.
As a movie, it's
a deeper problem.
I've got to go see this because I got to say, your guys' wrap up of it where you did it the next day, Angus is on pretty much on suicide watch.
Absolutely. Again, it's like Angus is on Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yes.
Doing
yes,
a one-man yes. show for the first time.
I got. By the way, actually, I should have said this up the top. You are a you're a regular listener of this show.
I am.
And also constant critic. And I'm mentioning you a lot on the show, but I always just say a friend of mine who listens.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I mention it, it's you. You listen every week and then you message me taking umbrage with something, some way we've described a game. Last week you were really shitty that we had left watching the trailer.
That was the only time I've actually said I didn't like something, I promise. I'm not actually that critical.
Just for the record, I did not think that we were going to put the actual piece of time where we were watching that trailer into
the podcast.
I'm
driving in my car to the city. It's like listening a 45-minute drive listening to the podcast.
What's the address of your house where you're driving
it's,
from?
What's this one again?
69 Street.
Westgate Bridge. I'm driving and I'm at a point where I can't touch any of my fucking... can't touch my phone or blah, blah, blah.
Because you got your
and
dick in your hand as you're
exactly
driving along.
Going down a muddy hill. Going, whoa, 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 whoa.
And this... You guys are like, oh, let's watch this right now. And there is a 3-minute fucking gap where you guys aren't saying anything.
I agree.
There is a very, very faint amount of noise.
I could not disagree more. I think it's the best thing we've ever done on this show.
Hey, Tommy, I've listened to... How many episodes have you guys done?
I don't know. This is like 30 or something.
I've listened to 30-something episodes. How many episodes of the Filthy Casuals have you listened to?
Of Hey Fam?
No, of Filthy Casuals.
Of our show.
Zero, right?
Like two or three. Yeah.
Did you listen to those ones that you weren't on when we just had to fucking record them on our iPhones?
Remember when those
are a black spot on the history of
the
this
week
podcast.
After he was like, hey, a friend of mine listened to them and said it sounded like you guys were on Suicide Watch. That was me.
Your comments about the Melbourne Comedy Festival sounding like the grimmest thing of all time. But wait, where were we at? What were we talking about? We were talking about you liking The Big Short. Good film, I reckon.
Great
I remember
soundtrack.
Seeing it and it being pretty cool. Where were we at? We were talking Big Short.
Batman, Superman.
Oh, yeah, Batman, Superman. Again, you got to the end of that and you guys and how in depth you went with how much you hated it. I got to the end, I was like, wow, I really got to see this fucking movie. I want to see, it sounds like, is it actually, like, I know it's bad, but were you enjoying how bad it was in any way? Like, is it?
No. It is like, it's baffling how horrible this movie is. Like, from a massive, it's almost like, the son of a famous director or something like that got a massive amount of money and was like, oh, we'll start a studio and we'll do our own superhero.
Right, yeah, right. He went home from the gathering of the Juggalos where he'd just written it.
And no one gave him any feedback whatsoever as he was making it.
It's so cynical. It's so poorly written and like just badly paced, completely meaningless. Like the characters have no fucking anything to them. They're not people. They don't act like people.
Yeah.
Even the alien should act like a person.
Yeah.
And it's slow and it's boring and it's just not enjoyable.
I can't wait to see it. I'm going to wait for like,
That's the thing.
Streaming.
It's not one of those ones where you're like, man, I saw this fucking movie and this guy, like one of the dead guys in the background stands up. Oh, it's a terrible movie. It's like, there's nothing to gain from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's baffling. It's like, and that's like their launch pad for a franchise.
It's crazy.
And this is Warner Brothers, who have, you know, they've done Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much the most successful franchise.
But then they also made those movies worse than the books were, and they were lucky to get away with it. Like,
yeah, but like, you can never actually say any of those Harry Potter movies are actually bad.
Nah, they are. A lot of them are.
Oh, here we go.
I take it all back, Ben Vanell. You're fine.
What's your fucking problem with the Harry Potter franchise? As you must know, that you are in no way are you the target audience for Harry Potter.
And then get ready, everybody listening, because I'm going to link this back to video games.
What are you doing?
Was younger and the Harry Potter movies started, I happened to have round glasses. And I may have had a Harry Potter or two thrown my way.
Oh, really?
Where's your wand, you specky cunt? No one said that, but that would have been a good one.
And you grew up to look exactly like Hagrid. Great story.
Is that the one Emma Watson plays? Which one is?
Yeah.
Wait, why do I want to look like Emma Watson either?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Chill out, man.
White feminism.
So, Assassin's
Creed. No, I said I made a promise and I will keep it. Did you guys ever play the Harry Potter game on Wii U where it was like, oh, fuck, you're the first time you ever hold a Wii U remote in your hand? You're like,
you mean the Wii?
Sorry, with a Wii, you're right. Thanks so much. You guys are a video game
podcast. Do this on your show a lot. You guys are constantly, one of you is just outwardly saying the wrong name of a console.
Yeah, me, all the time.
Yeah, and the other one doesn't pick you up on it.
I was playing Sonic on the bloody
microwave.
Yeah, I was trying to. Well done. Can you edit it? Can I just say the word microwave and you edit it in at the
end? Okay, go.
There.
I'll leave a bit of blank space.
So just make it sound like I came up with it.
Okay.
Microwave.
Great.
Laugh a little.
Noxie's done it again.
But I thought of that one while I was on the shitter before.
Get your feet off my fucking coffee table while you're
Don't keep them there. So when I first played the Wii, like the first thing you think about when you play, you're like, oh, it's like a wand. How good would a Harry Potter game be?
Yeah.
Well, you have like a wand.
Yeah.
And did you guys ever play one of the Harry Potter games in the
Wii?
But I can imagine.
Oh my God. The most broken shit game.
Oh really?
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you have to like thrust at the your Wiimote at the television. Is the television? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The television?
But enough about how you conceived your son.
Anyway, I said a word. I did it. It was a great job. It's a Hey Fam podcast on the iTunes network. 5 stars.
Oh, the iTunes network. Yeah. Part of the network.
Right. Yeah.
How ironic that the very first thing that you think of when you get the Wii Remote was then the game that convinced you how fucking shit and broken the technology of it was.
Yeah.
But you know what did a good job of resurrecting that? Skyward Sword.
Fuck
Nox, what
game.
Are your thoughts?
I hate that game too. I actually, the one pointless thing that I would love to get out of the Wii U is just a regular controlled version of that game.
Sure, and then take out all of the fucking talking down to you from it. Like, do you remember like just every second of that game is someone going like, see that fucking bomb over there? I reckon you could pick it up and light
now,
it.
Now, why do you care about that so much in Skyward Sword, but you seem to have no problem with it in Uncharted 4?
Because they don't explicitly say it to you. No one's standing there looking you in the face going, hey, mate, look at that fucking rock wall over there.
That's literally something that just happened to me 2 hours ago when I was playing.
Or they give you 10 seconds of trying to figure it out yourself.
They didn't say, hey, mate. That would be weird.
Yeah.
yeah, fucking pretty big fucking cliff up there, right?
These shoreline cunts are pretty fucking chopped, hey?
That's a great Sully, you guys.
Thanks. So, the Assassin's Creed movie.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Man.
Let's watch the trailer live right now.
there's a Kanye song in it. Like,
yeah, that
I don't
was
know.
So dumb.
It's so dumb.
But this is the biggest year for video game movies ever.
Really?
You've already had Ratchet and Clank, the movie.
World of
no
Warcraft is
World of Warcraft
coming out.
Assassin's Creed and Angry Birds.
Someone wanted us to talk about that, about how weirdly like late that movie is to the part. Like, when did that?
I thought the Sex and the City movie had already fucking come out. Angry Birds. Fuck off.
You gotta start doing that at gigs.
That's great.
You've gotta start doing that.
You reckon I should?
The week it comes out, book a gig every night and film yourself doing that every night and then make a video out of
it. Yeah, I could just do this theme song as like a little tag afterwards.
Book a gig at points. Event.
All right.
It's weird how long it's taken them to get that movie out.
It's too late, surely. I thought Angry Birds the Fever is done.
Yeah, I feel like this is, I don't know, I don't know why, but I've become like a weird defender of this movie.
Oh, right.
No, I'll say when the first trailer came out, I went in for a hate watch. I was like, here we fucking go. And I came out going, it actually looks all right.
Like Sudeikis is a voice. Bill Hader's a voice. Like,
it's a totally blank slate as well.
Exactly. There's like, no. It's the opposite of what we've been talking about, where you have to like, where you have to like follow the source. You know what I mean? Like with you were saying with video games, where there's like a story laid out, so you have to copy that. It's the opposite, where there's nothing.
It's like all you need is a bird that is angry.
So as long as the characters just look the same.
This bird's a triangle. This one's a big circle. Go for it. You can do whatever.
They hate the little pig things. Get in.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that so obviously Ratchet & Clank already out of the picture. It's already come out in America. I don't even know if it's coming out.
I don't think it's going to come out here. I haven't seen
rubbish
anything.
Rubbish reviews everywhere. Yeah. If it does, it'll be very, very low key. Yeah. As a fuck. But I'm going to say that of Warcraft, Assassin's Creed and Angry Birds is going to make the most money. In spite of us saying that it's, you know, like the slowest, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's a family movie because it's like you don't even have to know. I mean, everyone knows the app, so this point is irrelevant. But you don't need to have known the app. It'll just be, it's kids' movie.
It's like, at worst, it's going to be like a shitty DreamWorks movie. One rung below the
Like
minions.
Rio or whatever.
Yeah.
What's that Madagascar. One with what's the one with the snail?
Turbo.
Yeah, Turbo, that's the one. And they're all doing that fucking eyebrow raise on the cover, like, I'm a cartoon.
But every animated movie has done that since, you know, for like the last 10 years. There's a lot of that in Ratchet and Clank that annoys me. That shit, like, that.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit sarcastic.
Huge
fucking sit down, cunt. Sit down and listen.
Everyone who's not watching the live video feed, both Adam and Tommy were raising their eyebrow.
Completely naked over the course of the podcast and now raising our eyebrow.
You've seen this look on DreamWorks posters and on Melbourne Comedy Festival posters on trams.
Oh, fuck. That makes me feel real shit about my involvement in comedy.
Yeah.
The fact that our posters look just like a DreamWorks poster.
Your turn.
Finally,
Christ.
Does.
Finally, someone said it. Is that what you really came down here to do? Just ruined Melbourne.
You feel bad about being a comedian. Yeah, perfect. Why don't you be a weird freelance writer / DJ / dad?
Yeah.
Why?
What?
Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Hey, I think we should wrap this up.
No, why? I hate it when you say it. It's the worst catchphrase you've got.
Let's wrap it up.
No, let's talk about Star Fox Zero.
Oh, well,
because you didn't get it.
I didn't get it. Yeah, I was going to for the sake of this. I just can't do it to myself.
Did either of you? Yeah,
nah.
I haven't played it.
Nah.
Because that's like the biggest... That was like for me the nail in the coffin of like, should I keep being a massive Nintendo guy?
Yeah. But I think like it's weird how they treat that franchise. Like the fact that you guys were saying they haven't done, and also them do it like, it's basically a remake of Star Fox 64 / Twilight Wars, isn't it?
I'm willing to let a crazy something you might yell at me about Big Short style out here. I'm gonna put it to you that Star Fox has never been good.
I
think 64 I liked a lot when I was a kid and replayed it a bunch. If it had come out now, not good.
Well, but I liked it on the 60. I loved it on the 64 at the time. Yeah. I got the remake on the 3DS and I liked that a lot.
Okay.
Like, but this is the thing. Like, it should have grown since then.
Sure,
if they had, like, put the kind of the care into it that they do with other... Like, had a big top-tier title on every console, the place that it would have evolved to by this point... Could have been fucking great.
What did they do? Where's F-Zero gone? Why aren't they doing Metroid games?
Right, I mean, I played F-Zero GX on the GameCube again recently.
Yeah.
It's so brutally hard, but it's
Why didn't they make a fucking... When Nintendo Land came out and it had that little mock F-Zero in it, I remember
and the F-Zero track in Mario Kart too.
Yes, I remember everyone going, oh, this is going to be the next Nintendo Direct. Surely they're building up for an F-Zero. What? Like, and they had the good graphical capability to make it look sick. Right. So what the fuck didn't they do it?
So, Tommy, I know you own a Wii U.
Yeah.
What was the last Nintendo console you bought, Adam?
I bought a 3DS.
Right.
I bought a 3DS.
So what would... so?
And right. I've barely played it. I played that Zelda game on it and that was about it.
For you to buy the NX, what would their startup roster have to be?
Fuck, man. It's going to be the Zelda game, so that's a lock-in. There'd have to be...
we know we got the Smash thing with all the
just
DLC.
Quickly again. I don't give a shit about that. It's so crazy that they're doing that, given that it felt like with them re-releasing Twilight Princess on the Wii U feels like them sort of going, "Hey, no one sort of gave much of a fuck about this the first time around because
still
it was
sold like didn't that sell like 16 million
right
copies?
Well,
yeah, because if you throw a fucking like piece of moldy bread into a pit of starving people, they're gonna eat the bread. They're still, you know, but there's nothing else.
It felt like to me the first time around it was like, because Zelda should be like a big kind of like middle of a life cycle of a console, big graphical kind of like, you know, looks amazing, is big and in depth. It felt like with Twilight Princess on the GameCube, people were like, oh, well, this system's fucking dead and we're playing the slightly inferior version.
Yeah.
And with the Wii version, they were like, yeah, but this is just like a holdover, so this almost doesn't count as a game on this system.
Yeah.
It's so fucking crazy that they're doing that again. It's nuts.
And I'm really worried that Zelda game might not be great.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like that's like the one like tiny amount of hope that I need to cling on to is that Zelda game will be the best.
And it could be like that. What was it? A Link Between Worlds was the.
It was amazing.
It was fucking great.
I never played it, but I hear it's great. I played it.
That's probably my favorite game that I've played until Uncharted 4, I guess, or Ratchet & Clank.
It was really good. And part of what I liked about that was the freedom to go somewhere, which was new for a Zelda thing. And they seem to be doubling down on that for this one from what they've said, but we haven't seen anything. And
did you play Levins? Did you play Luigi's Mansion 2?
Yeah, I did. And I loved it up until there was this horrible boss level where you have to, like. You look kind of down.
You're Jason Sudeikis and you've got to go in and try to get fucking, what's her name, Rachel from Friends to stop fucking Charlie.
I've horrible seen that movie boss level. Right, okay. Horrible.
I went to the premiere of that movie.
Did you really?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you basically have like a, I guess like a cannon and you've got to shoot this like spiraling face and you've got to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, it was just like one of those things. I was like, I'm never going to do this the way they fucking want it. I got really frustrated.
I finished that. It was one of the few games I've actually finished all the way through.
But that was a great game. It was
great
fun.
Game.
Really, really
that
fun.
Cool to take a thing from. See, that's Nintendo at their best. Take a thing that was like when it first came out on GameCube, it was like a launch thing where people were like, this is pretty weird to not be getting a Mario title, but I guess this is pretty.
Yeah.
Even though it's a pretty short game, like it's kind of cool mechanic. Bring it back, expand upon it. Like they have such a rich history that they just never. This is like, I think the characters and everything in the Star Fox games are really cool. Like, I like the whole setup of those games. I like those characters.
And the Star Fox...
I like Peppy constantly reminding you that you've got a dead dad.
The Star Fox guard game is actually really fun and worth playing.
Slippy and Grippy.
Yeah, Slippy and Grippy, the boys.
Dead boys.
The weird end boys. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing with Nintendo, it's like super duper disappointing that... Like, I think the big thing I talked about with Angus on Hey Fam this week is that this is the first year... that the year will end and I won't have a Nintendo game in my top five.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like and the first year since I've been playing video games.
That's insane.
Yeah. And it's also...
Fuck, when you put it that way, that's really nuts.
And it's also, it's like there's no... It's not like... It's not hard. Like it's all... That's what's so frustrating. It's all there. And I've said this on this show many times. Like everyone thinks that they know how to run a company better or run a studio better or like here's what they should have done with this movie and for the most part they're talking out of their ass. But Nintendo is the one company where any super fan could go in there with their theories about what they think would save it and be good and actually be right. You know what I mean? Like they're actually like anyone who just is into the company could if they commissioned like just picked a fan at random and said oh, hey, make an F-Zero game for Wii U. Like, fucking boom, done. Like, people would be stoked
with
that.
Maybe not, because they tried to do that with Star Fox and it sucked.
Yeah, but who would have said bringing that whack-ass gamepad control? Like, Bring that in as a novelty. True. Don't make it like that's crazy that you don't have the option of
it's
not
so
doing
fucking, like,
it. It's crazy.
I, you guys have kind of hinted on it in past episodes that like that it is difficult to play. It is just it's not worth how shit that control setup is.
Because I played a little bit of Ocarina of Time on the 3DS, and did you ever play that?
Yeah, I loved that.
So how you'd aim the arrows and stuff with the motion controls.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
I hated that on there.
Yeah, so you would.
And it's worse than that.
So much worse.
Well, shit. Well, then I can't do it. There's no way I'm ever going to do that.
Yeah. See, I think of all. I mean.
The fact that it's a remake of a game that they re-released on the 3DS, like, what, 4 years? Like, it's not even a new thing. When it's like you're trying to make it this
You've
big
thing,
you've
already relived
not
this
even
game
new.
Really quick, really recently.
God,
yeah.
It's...
Yeah. And there are a few, like, you know, there are a few new vehicles, like the Chicken Walker thing, and there's, like, another one that's, like, a drone. And it's just, they're just dull. And it's the whole thing, it just isn't a great... Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Exactly. Hashtag who cares.
Hashtag who cares. Bring it back. I'm going to do it to you tonight. we should wrap it up there. Andrew Levins, thanks so much for joining us and just basically retreading a lot of stuff that you'd already said on your own podcast last week.
It's a retread.
So, hey fam, great podcast. You guys talk about video games and also you talk about comic books, TV shows, movies.
Yeah, how many of my podcasts can I plug?
Do it. Go for all of them.
I got Hey Fam with my boy Angus Truscott, who's the number one Sydney-based Tommy Dasilo fan in Australia.
We were trying to get him to come down here for this and unfortunately.
Well, I really want to do a Filthy Casuals and Hey Fam crossover.
We
should.
Well, you're down in Melbourne a bit over the next...
Yeah, I'll give you the exclusive. I am supporting the Venga Boys.
How good's that?
Way. On their Australian tour at the end of this year.
It's not only the Venga Bus that's coming now. I'm coming as well is
Thanks,
my point.
Yeah. So that's they've already sold out three Melbourne shows. And then a fourth one just got announced.
Where are they? Where's a new? Where is that?
Billboards. Huh? Or what used to be Billboards. 175.
Yeah, they're doing four
Now, where
four
are
shows.
They right now?
Right. But also, this is what's weird about that tour. It's them plus like six people who have like one hit.
So
I presume just coming out and doing their one hit. Wakefield is on the tour.
Guess who's DJing for all those one hit wonders?
Oh, that's no awesome. Shit.
So I have to put together a live set that goes for 3 hours that includes five different 90s acts doing their one hit.
Can you say what they are or not?
Yeah, I can.
They're on the poster. Jackie, remember that song?
Nah.
Jackie. You remember it. Fuck you. Stop.
Nah, sing a little
put
more.
Put your dick away. Stop looking at me like that. What else? Wakefield. Sonic.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sonic.
DJ Sammy.
DJ Sammy.
What's he doing? These big hits are just like remixes of Boys of Summer with a beat under it.
Take it back to your 2002 live show, buddy. Tina Cousins, who did Wonderful Life. And Crystal Waters, 100% Pure Love and... Gypsy Woman.
Man, you might as well be speaking Greek. I don't know what you're saying.
100%
pure love. Fuck
Back
you.
To the
you know
and
these
around
songs.
Again. I'm no going to be there to the end. 100%
pure love. It's catchy.
Yeah, that's it. He gets it. He gets it. So that's what you want to plug?
I've also got Hey
Fam. It's like for 3 hours, just the supports. Or that's including Venga Boys.
Up, man. It's looking crazy.
Jesus Christ.
Play number 5 through 12 in between each of them.
Ah!
Has anyone ever made that, but with the Tim Allen? Yeah.
I have an amazing version of Genuine Pony, where every time it goes like, so I've got another podcast called The Mitchin, which is all about food with different chefs. And then I got another one that's only about comedy.
Only chefs from the 90s, though. They made one great chefs, dish in the 90s.
What a fondue talk on this podcast.
and cheese and bacon rolls. And then I've got a comic book podcast called Serious Issues, which is with the King's Comics guys in Sydney.
Great. So check them all out across the iTunes network.
It's me and my old mate Steve Jobs, RIP, started this network a long time ago.
So, hit us up at Filthy Caz Pod, Filthy Casuals Podcast on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com. Yeah. Hey, we don't need Ben at all anymore. Yeah. Fuck you, Vanel. Guys, thanks heaps for listening. And as we always say here, would you like to take this one, Levins, or would you like to not?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Okay. As we always say here at Filthy Casuals.
Duh, fucking Ben Vanel, you're fired, cunt.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.